Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Ms. Segmet Shabapa. She is an actress in a one-woman play, Give It to the Therapist, which has been canceled. She has filed an EEOC complaint, and she's on Show Talk with Angela Butler to talk about her experiences and what's going on from her point of view. And I did invite Georgia Tech, contact their public relations department. They have not as of yet called me back, but Georgia Tech there in Georgia are more than welcome to come on Show Talk with Angela Butler and give their point of view on things. They are more than welcome. All right, how are you doing, Ms. Shabazz, Ms. Shabaka?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me, Angela. Thank you. I really appreciate you.
You're more than welcome, Ms. Shabazz. So you have the one-woman stage play, Give It to the Therapist. Tell the people listening about Give It to the Therapist.
Sure. Give It to the Therapist is a. It all started out, about 3 years ago. I found myself in a very unhealthy state after, you know, living in a very nice home, you know, had cars, decent income, and I found myself, you know, homeless on the streets and was living like a drug addict, and I was not on drugs. And I knew that something was wrong with my brain, and I was steady going down and down. And so I decided, look, I got to save myself, and I walked into therapy and, you know, a open clinic to have my brain checked. And I was enrolled in therapy. And from there, I was diagnosed with a mental illness, psychosis. And in therapy, it actually helped me to, you know, get my brain correct and by identifying what was wrong with it and realizing I had brain damage and emotional damage. And then I began to heal by looking at the condition and writing about it. So I started writing short stories and poems and giving myself affirmations, which turned into the book called Give It to the Therapist, which will be released tomorrow. But I also had developed the play, and I shopped the play, and I got the play picked up by an executive producer called Jonathan Matlott. You can check it out at the website, legacygardenplays.org. But the play was created, Give It to the Therapist, to bring healing to those people who may want a deeper understanding of what it's like to have a mental illness. And the play talks about how mental illness was generated from, you know, abuse that started at, you know, from childhood to teenage life to adulthood. And during that process, you know, the play was developed. And I took it to the first place that I took it to, you know, demonstrate the play was at Georgia Tech Theater.
Okay. All right. Okay. Do you write the stage play? give it to the therapist.
Yes. Yes, I wrote the play, produced the play. It took me about 7 months to write the book, and then from the book I just took pieces of the book out and generated the play. And I took real life pieces of Segment Alter Ego Life story and just turned it into a one woman show. And based on my research, it hasn't been too many one woman shows in history that was based on drama in real life. A lot of times it's based on different characters and it's based on being funny or something like that. But this is actually a one woman show. Taking you through a series of short stories and poems, you know, about what it's like to be abused and have, you know, and how my mind operates, or a person with an unhealthy brain, how it operates. Not so easy to get out of situations and abusive situations when you're in it. So that it's written to help you understand how, you know, a person with mental illness brain may think in situations that they may be in or attract.
Okay. So when did the abuse first start with you? Were you an adult? I mean, it's obvious before you became ill that you had a pretty decent, successful life. So when did your abuse start?
Well, pretty much, you know, one of the things is I began to, what made life better was I knew how to use my imagination and learn to live in my imagination and create imaginary friends and going into, you know, another world of thinking to avoid the abuse that was at home as a child. And so, yeah, the abuse started, you know, watching my stepfather, you know, severely, you know, beat my mother. And, you know, just watching that as a 7-year-old and having a stepfather that also beat you, you know, for hours for whatever reason, you know. So, you know, that's where it began. And I watched my mother go through several abuse, you know, a lot of abuse, you know, from physically being hit to being hit with a pipe to, you know, across her head to being burnt with third-degree burns. I watched my mother suffer a lot. And I watched her also develop mental illness, but I wasn't quite sure why her behavior was the way that it is. My mother has now passed away, but she was became very abusive herself towards her children. So yeah, as a child, my mother didn't really, you know, show any love, like, or appreciation. She never hugged me, never said she loved me. My mother, you know, demonstrated a lot of hate and yelling and cursing at me. So that's the beginning of, you know, childhood abuse and childhood, you know, cycles of abuse.
Okay, cycles of abuse. So you went through different cycles of abuse. Your stepfather?
For myself, I personally didn't experience physical abuse besides childhood beatings and verbal, attacks, but I never personally experienced it as an adult being beaten. I was beaten one time. As I got older, I was actually raped and by my mother's drug dealer. And so, you know, during that process of being raped, he found out about, you know, me telling what happened, and he actually kidnapped me from school. Of course, I was in a special school by then because I was a teenager that was raped and having a baby. And so, yeah, so one of the things that how my mental illness developed was, how do I get rid of that person who went through all of those terrible things to the person that I became? So it was kind of hard. I went through life trying to hide that other person. I went through life denying the other person. I went through life with, you know, people wanting to know who she was, and I kept her hidden, and I could not heal until I checked into therapy to figure out, like, these are two, I don't want to say different personalities, but they're two different people, and, you know, here it is, I'm Sekhmet Shabaka, but who's this other person that grew up that I don't want to know that person, and I literally tried to separate my entire life from that person, but she just couldn't completely go away. So it was very mentally disturbing and emotionally disturbing to my own self to experience it.
I understand. But you went through different trauma as a child. Then you were raped and your mother abused you. So you went through different stages of trauma throughout your entire life. Well, your childhood, not your entire life, but your childhood, your teenage years, and then you were raped.
It eventually did lead into adulthood abuse, but that's when I, you know, attracted a narcissist. And so I didn't really understand I was attracting abusers, you know, throughout life, you know. So attracting abusers, they were abusers, whether it was friends who became abusers, whether it was lovers that became abusers, you know, I just was attracting abuse, and it became a normal part of life. And I thought that that was normal, you know, to be in those situations. But those situations are not normal, and that's why I wrote the play, to educate people that if you can relate to any of these things that I'm saying, it is not normal. It is not a normal situation to be in. And this is how I got out.
Yes, abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse is horrible and painful. It's very painful. And the abuse that, to me, is the worst is when a person suffers for years with verbal abuse. To me, that's the worst part of being abused.
Yes, and that's part of the education of what this show also talks about, is abusers normally turn into abusers themselves, and it keeps a vicious cycle going on. A lot of child molesters that molested people were molested themselves. A lot of women that were verbally and mentally, physically abused sometimes become physical abusive themselves, men, male or female. So, you know, it's a cycle that needs to be looked at, and especially when it comes to getting our brain checks, understanding that the brain thinks differently, is not operating in a normal way of how society says we should operate. And that I believe people in society and family members around people who have mental illness should be educated on how to, you know, deal with a person with an abnormal brain besides medication and watch over them.
Yes.
And, you know, call the police,
yes,
when there's trouble. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say is this: when a person is mentally ill, there's usually a reason for it. And though, and like I was saying to Ms. Shabazz, Segment Shabazz here, who's on Show Talk with Angela Butler, who's also an actor, writer.
Segment Shabaka, yes, everyone Shabaka.
Shabaka.
I love the Shabazzes. I love the Shabazzes, but it's Shabaka. I know it could be a little complicated
Shabaka.
To pronounce it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. It is your name. But the thing that I've learned is that trauma causes that pain, and it doesn't just go away. And I'm not a psychiatrist, not a counselor, not a psychotherapist, not a case manager, but to me, with my own experiences with mental illness, I was diagnosed with something I did not have. So the church told me I needed healing, that I had a spirit. They would try to heal me in the local park here in the town. There would be like maybe 100 people standing around the park, watching and looking. The pastor called me up front and said he was going to heal me of demons. Well, I live in a small community. But my own experience is that even though I do have that, it started with bullying and verbal abuse. My own personal experience is that I was diagnosed wrong. I had to believe in something. I had prayed to God, and he had partially healed me, but I guess he said God can't partially do anything, but the healing I had was enough to let me be able to live in the state that I am in, which is in the Bible. But most of the time, I was misdiagnosed. In the last 7, 8 years, the diagnosis has been corrected, because I do have depression. Bad depression. Depression can cripple you. So they realized they misdiagnosed me. I've been diagnosed with that for 20-some years. So understand something about what you're going to through. It's not easy. Not fun either. But I relate to you, this segment. Okay, go on and okay, talk, man.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I received
I
a lot of...
Were you on medication? Because I was on wrong medication about 20-some years before they re-diagnosed me.
Well, one thing, at some part in my life, I was also diagnosed as being schizophrenic, which we'll talk about a little bit deeper in a moment. But that I was so fearful of a lot of things, and that was one of the things I was fearful of. I was like, I'm fearful of the medication. They're trying to kill me. So I was too afraid to take that. So, yeah, but I was prescribed, but I just refused to take that. But based upon my research, when I was also a little girl, my mother gave me a lot of candy, and candy had the little flavor, the little color in it. And I found out later that the color in a lot of candies is made with has petroleum in it, which is gasoline. And when you're really young, it really burns holes in the back of your teeth where you have to go to the dentist and get fillings. Well, I happened to go to the dentist and receive 10 metal mercury fillings in my mouth. And as I began to get older and brush the mercury and eating seafood, that is what was causing my hallucinations and panic attacks. And once I discovered I was mercury poisoned, I stopped eating seafood altogether and stopped brushing the mercury in my mouth. And all those symptoms had went away as far as that diagnosis goes. So I feel like I was also misdiagnosed when it comes to being
schizophrenic. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
You were diagnosed with what?
Schizophrenia.
I understand.
Yeah, which
that.
Is hallucinations. Yeah, suffering from hallucinations and paranoia thinking was coming from being mercury poisoned.
And that wasn't it. That was not it. You were misdiagnosed.
Right.
Okay, I was diagnosed with 2 mental illnesses. I'm not going to say what they are, but they finally corrected it. But for 20-some years, I was on this medication for something that I did not have.
Wow.
But if they had gave me the correct medication, I probably would have got better sooner. I still go through verbal abuse, but I live by myself. So, and I'm grateful that the diagnosis has been corrected. So what are you doing now that you realize that you were not that? That you were just denying the person who was being abused. You distanced herself through having a beautiful home, having nice cars. How did you heal? You start to heal. I understand the mercury. I understand what happened in Flint, Michigan, too, with the war.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that's all over the United States of America, and it probably is more prominent in African-American communities. But how you wrote short stories, you stopped brushing your teeth with mercury and candy and so on and so on. What else did you do?
As I got older, one of the biggest life transformational experiences that I went through in my life was being in an emotional abusive relationship, and how that took a toll on my mental illness and just increased it to the point to where I became dysfunctional and I couldn't pay bills. I didn't know how. I didn't know how to generate income anymore for myself. You know, I didn't know. I was, you know, just losing everything. I wasn't able to make correct decisions. My thinking was way off, and it was because I had attracted another abuser, and it was, you know, it was emotional abuse, and it took me a long time of studying this person's behavior and to gain an understanding. I just kept collecting and researching and trying to gain an understanding, and that's how crazy people or people with brain disorders that are not functioning right can make other people have brain disorders as well, because people with so-called normal brain disorders would not even put up with people who are really dysfunctional in a personal way that they can recognize. And if they do, a lot of times they're trying to figure out why this person thinks differently, and then they start changing their mind to kind of fit that thinking, but it just doesn't go together. And I'll, you know, give you an example of that. You know, being with a narcissist that's, you know, really emotional abusive, for an example, you know, the abuser that I was with would say, you know, this woman is, like, way more prettier than you. She's, you know, way better than you, and, you know, you would never be anything. Well, if someone keeps telling you that, those type of things every day, you know, it starts to take a toll on you. Someone constantly putting you down and making you think that something is really wrong with you and that you're not, you know, good enough. However, the person, the narcissist that I was with, I kept on achieving more and more things in life because the person was telling me I wasn't good enough. So I went out and just kept achieving things. I went out and became a licensed insurance broker for life, accident, health. I went out, you know, wrote a book, produced a play, became a television producer. I just kept achieving things. I learned how to, you know, build credit for myself so I can have excellent credit. And I just kept doing things. So at the end of the day, I really wasn't mad with what I was accomplishing, but it was also, I just had to look at my life and say, okay, but now I'm homeless and I'm on the streets, and how did I get here from where I was? And so, you know, it was talk therapy that saved me. And again, I went back to that original person who was considered disabled, considered, you know, to not have any friends, considered the crazy one, you know. So when I, you know, and couldn't get myself out of that situation, it was therapy that brought together both people, bring, you know, Sekhmet Shabaka, my past life alter ego. I was able to share life together with them. And I'm thinking it brought so much healing to my soul, into my body. And I started to get my life back together, you know, and everything just started changing around once those two was able to come and work together. So those are the type of mental illness
so
plans.
You're saying that you had two people, or that you were denying the abuse that you went through. That you was. What are you saying?
I generated in my mind two different people with two different lives. And so, you know, this life is the, you know, the, you know, with two different lives, but in my mind still to today, it's still two different people who went through two different experiences. And Sekhmet Shabaka don't have those experiences. Sekhmet Shabaka does not experience none of that. That was not her. That was someone else. And so that's how my mental illness affects me.
That's not two personalities. That's not two
Not necessarily,
people.
No. No, it's not. It's just...
You
in my mind, it's an alter ego. Well, that was with the schizophrenic. That was with the schizophrenic, not with the psychosis. Yeah, the psychosis is still current without medication, but it definitely healed me by having a natural plan on dealing with the belief system of my mind and how come up with a plan to where they both are get along and get it there. And so I was able to put all that into give it to the therapist. You know,
yeah, there
so sex
medicine. Yeah.
Different
types of psychosis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the healing for me is what I'm saying is, if it wasn't for Give It to the Therapist, the project where I can take and talk about the old person and everything the old person went through and kind of, you know, bring her out with, you know, who Sekhmet is today, but that's still not her, and as that's her alter ego. It was a way to bring healing for me, and I was still able to function for myself and generate again and able to take care of myself, you know, without my mind constantly struggling with how I'm going to get rid of this past person that's ruining me. So I'm just giving you a little insight of how my brain operates with the diagnosis of what I have.
So that's amazing, though. In a way, that's amazing, because the other person was the one that was called crazy, as you say, didn't have any friends, things like that. That was still you. That was that person, even though you became successful. All of that is you. Like, were you told that?
Part of the being creative and having a creative project helped me to accept that was a part of my past life, but it doesn't. Sekhmet Shabaka still does not claim that was her. You know, so, you know, it's considered still in my mind a separate person, but it is all the same person, yes. But I'm just letting you know how it seems in my mind, and
that
how it operates
in
my
mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Basically, you're denying that you are abused, called crazy. Is that it?
No, I'm not denying those things.
You were there.
I'm not denying those things. I'm saying that Sekhmet Shabaka did not experience those things. The other person did. That's how it is in my mind.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so it's like if I had to maybe in my mind believe that that's all me, I don't know if I can heal. But the plan that I've created for myself was a creative project that helped both come together and both could live through the project and, you know, and both can remain separate in my mind, telling, you know, the story.
Okay.
Sekhmet is telling the story.
Yes, ma'am.
Sekhmet is the boy.
Yes, ma'am.
Sekhmet
you're
is
doing
the boy.
A one from a play that you wrote also, and you sold
yeah,
a
so
thousand
this represents
tickets.
Yes, it represents the character of the person who went through all that, and that's how I look at her. She was just another character of my life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that. That makes better sense. So you sold a thousand tickets. So
there was
it's
a
obvious
thousand,
that you're not crazy.
Well, you know, creative people have special, you know, or people that have brain disorders a lot of times have special abilities in some kind of way. And they also have been known as special talented people, you know, in some kind of way, you know. I was very excited to, you know, put it this way. It, you know, I was able to heal from depression. I was able to get out of homelessness. I was able to, you know, just gain an understanding. And it became my mission to tell the world that we need to be educated more on brain damage, because when you get brain damage, if there's nobody there to speak up for you, to say, you know, this person has a brain disorder, and if someone puts you on medication, it can become real serious that you may not ever recover. You may not, you can just keep going down without recovery. And to the point, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what material things you have. When your mind starts to go, it just starts to go. And when you go into depression, no matter what you have, success, nothing matters. And you can become suicidal, because internal is what's going on in the brain. And the last thing that people need to be is left alone or on medication. Yes, I understand that it gets to the point where some people need to be under medication, but hopefully it's just like a lot of other diagnoses. If you catch it in time, then I believe we can be healed through talk therapy.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking at your website here, legacygardenplays.org. And I'm looking at the tickets section, and I see you have here on your website what I was talking about earlier, the discrimination complaint that you filed, your discrimination case that has been filed with EEOC. So the government is picking up this.
The play should have been performed at Georgia Tech Theater. The show is presented by Legacy Garden, which is the nonprofit. Originally, the nonprofit was called the Tupac Center, but due to legal matters, the name had to be changed to Legacy Garden. And they presented the play for me. And I received, you know, some wonderful, great sponsors. And I was looking forward to present this play at Georgia Tech and was coming across a lot of discrimination from day one, and I pointed it out to them, and they just pretended all the way up to the beginning that they were going to let me go on that stage, but yeah, they refused to let me go on the stage and was hoping that I would walk away if they keep mistreating me. But what I did was just recorded everything by emails. I even recorded some phone conversations, and things were not clear, and eventually they canceled the show illegally, and I filed a discrimination case.
Okay. And that's in the state of Georgia against Georgia Tech?
Yes, it's in a state of Georgia, yes.
So I have been, I've talked to you 3 or 4 times, talked to you quite a bit. I'm glad you chose Show Talk with Angela Butler to come on my show, come on here and allow me to interview you. I'm glad they told me about you, Mr. Bryant. So
yes,
that's a wonderful
Mr. Beely B. Beely B is the musical director of the play Give It to the Therapist. We produced 16 tracks to the album made up of classical music. It sounds like you're in a movie. It sounds like a movie soundtrack. So, yeah, there's no live background singers as of yet, but the it has live singers. It's a musical. It's short stories and poetry, and he created beautiful, beautiful music to it. It's just the music alone takes you to another place. So right now the show is being redirected to be produced now at the Fox Theater and also Morehouse College. So I'm really excited about that.
So it's Morehouse College?
Yes, well, everything is, continuing on, really nothing I can do if Georgia Tech did not want me to bring my show there. But I can tell you a little bit of things that had happened as far as being discriminated upon at Georgia Tech.
I understand you filed a complaint, a charge, a case, not a charge, a charge and a case for, you can go ahead and say it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it was very, clear that they were being racist. And discriminating against me, and to my knowledge, it was because I was a black woman. I had no idea about Georgia Tech having any type of background or history and being racist, but I know that my experiences were very racist, and it was very unprofessional, and they belittled me and, talked down at me, and really it seemed that like they practiced white supremacy. They were letting me know that they were well over me and that I wasn't good enough to lease their theater, and actually told me I didn't have a right to rent the theater when in their public policies they have a 1,000-seat theater, a 2,000-seat a 200-seat theater, and a ballroom and other classrooms that are available to be rented when available to the public. But they automatically denied me and told me because I was a small production, I need to go elsewhere. And they made that clear, and that's all documented.
Documented, okay. Understand that.
And the reason why I even got as far as I got is because I went to another smaller theater inside of their facility who pretended along the way that I was going to be able to rent this room, and they kept giving me problems. So from the first day of rehearsal in the building, they 3 hours just to get the equipment operating. They didn't know how to work the projector. They didn't know how to turn it off. They didn't know how to get the sound to come through the microphone. They didn't know how to warm up the room. It was so much that they didn't know how to do it. It took them over 3 hours to get it going. And when they finally did get it going, it was a band playing really loud music coming through the walls. And so, I ended up asking them, will you guys not on the days of the show, you won't be playing this music, right? And they said, yes, we will be playing the music, but you can pay us $1,500 and we'll go play our instruments on the other side of the building. And, it became, why do I have to pay you $1,500, when this is all your, you guys' organization, you guys should help each other out, for you guys to play on instruments somewhere else on the side of the building. Why do I have to pay for that? So they felt they didn't have to you know, give me an explanation for that. And that dragged on for days and days. And they finally decided that no one could park on the premises the days of the play. They had to park miles down the street, maybe 2 miles away, and catch a trolley up to come see the play. Because I asked them to address if I had the option to lease their parking lot, which it says that I can for if I bring events there. The parking lot could be leased out. They told me automatically I didn't have that option. And the only option was to maybe park in a, you know, a small area where it didn't fit enough cars, and or park miles down the street. And so, yeah, so they were, you know, very
rude. I understand how you feel, but I'm discriminated against because of past things. Discrimination, I feel, is mocking. They don't consider what certain people within the town. And when I say town, I mean three traffic lights. They don't, three traffic lights, seriously. They don't consider it harassment, abuse, mental abuse. Within the community in which I live, they just say, oh, she's crazy. So, you know, but I did a show for over 8 years and wrote books and things similar to you. But I truly was misdiagnosed. I only have bad depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
So I would never kill myself, anything like that, but I understand what you're going through because I go through it every day.
Well, community, thank goodness.
I mean, yes, go ahead.
Yes, well, I just wanted to say how I personally got out of depression was getting into creativity. I think that's the perfect way to heal, and that's why when I started Giving to the Therapist Foundation, that's givingtothetherapist.com, when I started Giving to the Therapist, part of the healing process was to take other people, in particular women who have been abused, to stand up and tell their story as well and turn it into a performing arts piece. That alone is a lot of healing to get on the stage and get trained and to tell your story and transform it into art. And so that was one of the ways I got relief from depression and one of the gifts I wanted to pass on to other people, just getting on and talking about it. That's why I say talk therapy brings a lot of healing besides just getting somebody on medication. Just talking through it, you know, talking it out loud and getting it out, it brings a lot of healing.
Okay. There's a lot of talk there. But, well, the people, I feel, just told me to move. The people who the agency that diagnosed me wrong have told me to move, to simply relocate because you're none of that, which made me feel better because I knew I wasn't what they had diagnosed me with all along. And I don't believe they're going to change the diagnosis just because of this interview, you know, to keep from being negligent or something. But I don't really blame them because there was something wrong with my brain, and I really still believe I have spirits to that, and I've learned to live with it. And I know that's a lot of the problem, and depression, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Within the
community,
that's
the beginning of You're healing. The first step to healing is identifying, and you have some healing going on because when you can identify the illness, accept it, and recognize the symptoms and work within that. And I think that's the first step. You know, you cannot be in denial. You have to look at the thing and realize, hey, I do have those
but
symptoms.
But to be
now.
Reminded, you know, in such an evil way for a diagnosis that I do not even have anymore, for people to do that to me is evil, and it's a crime. I consider it abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I consider verbal abuse. But I know I'm not willing to move just yet. So they told me either ignore them or move. Those are my only two choices. So go ahead.
Sometimes you have to move. I mean, I talk about that a lot in the play. I moved several times to get away from environments. You know, I realized that for me, it's very positive energy and environments, and people, if I'm around, have to be positive, because, you know, just being around negative thinkers could take a toll on you, you know. So I try to remove myself from negative energy. I don't try to even play with it or work with it or in it. I don't play with it at all, and I don't mind relocating and running far away from it as possible. Anything to save my life, because it's that important to me.
In your personal experience, did you become accustomed to abuse and consider it normal that you just had to deal with it? And that makes you sick right there.
Yeah, at some point in my life.
Abuse.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about, you know, what it was like being with a narcissist that was abusing me. I knew it was abuse. I knew it was hurtful. I knew it was painful, but yet I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay deeper and deeper and deeper in it. And that's how love was expressed in our home. If that is a death, you know, if that is, you know, if I didn't never experience love and, you know, and that was my family, that's how I grew up, I just automatically associated that this is how love should be. You know, love is
okay.
Like this because I grew up like this.
We have some caller this segment.
Okay.
I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong again. I hope I don't.
You did right. Segment is fine. Segment is fine. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, caller. I see you have a 404 area code. Are you interested in talking to Miss Segment? All right. I guess not. We have other callers, but I was going to do this caller with 404 area code because they've been late on the show since the beginning of the show. So I said, well, they've been on here the longest, so I'm going to go to them. But we only have like maybe two and a half minutes left. But understand what you're going through. I hope everything is successful for you at Georgia Tech University. I understand what it's like. I've had job discrimination and different job discrimination harassment.
I want to give a special shout out to, you know, those sponsors who did support mental illness awareness and abuse prevention. I just want to give a special thanks to the Atlanta Voice newspaper. I definitely want to give a shout out to Impact Events, Atlanta, just wonderful supportive people. Area 51 Presents. Also, a shout out to Wendy's. If I said that, they were very wonderful. There was a lot of supportive people. My music producer, and also give a shout out to the executive producer, Jonathan Mallett, who helped me get this far. And I tell you one thing, special shout out to you, Angela, for being here.
All right, thank you. Ms. Shabaka, I'm glad and honored that you came on Show Talk with Angela Butler. But I do understand what you're going through because I've been through it for 25 years or longer, and I do believe it starts from abuse, trauma. Mine was one trauma after the next. So understand you, and I still go through it, you know, but I know as long as I stay here, it's going to
be. Well, we got to get together. We got to get together and, you know, have an open mic out, night out, and and women like us should just stand up and tell a few stories and see what it does for the soul, you know, to talk about it. It's let it all out, you know. So sometimes, you know, we just keep too much in.
I understand you can't be too negative. I understand that, but I just had to do this interview, and I really wish you success in your life. Hopefully we'll talk again. Success in your life and with your EEOC complaint. And I was just reading some information on Georgia Tech. So I understand what's going on. People have put things on here. One gentleman did. He has a website. He was a football player. He's talking about what he went through.
I've heard.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, later I've heard that there was a lot of different stories going on with racism. But, you know, like I said, this is all new to me, and I can only stand up and tell the truth. I just couldn't, you know, could not tell the truth. So I sued the media, and I just had to tell the people what I experienced. I just wasn't going to walk away from something that, like that. And I thank you again for allowing me to tell my story and talk about it. I really appreciate
you.
And
you,
you have a wonderful show here and keep it going.
Yes, yeah. Ma'am, I will. All right,
okay,
everyone, that
you.
Was Ms. Segmex Shabaka. She's on
right.
Show Talk with interviews. She's talking about Morehouse College, where her stage play will be, I believe it's Tell It to the Therapist. Hope I got it right.
Give It to the Therapist, yeah.
Give It to the Therapist, yeah. I figured that.
Look out for it. It's coming to the
play.
Fox Theater.
Ma'am?
Yes, I said look out for it. It's also coming to the Fox Theater.
Fox Theater in Morehouse.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, correct.
Okay. Give It to the
And
Therapist.
After that,
okay.
It'll be on tour. So keep following the tour dates on the website at legacygardenplays.org. That's legacy, like leave your legacy. Garden, like a garden, you plant food. Plays with a S. .org, and I'll see you there. You can also inbox me and leave me a message right on the website. Appreciate you. You all have a good night.
God bless you and much success and blessings.
All righty. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right. You've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Once again, that was Ms. Segmet Shabaka. She was talking about her stage play and the different places it's going to be. I wish her sincerely success, blessing, and Godspeed. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Are you there?